The Bible and homosexual practice. Is it really that hard to sort the issues out?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have, friends, a very important broadcast today on The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. We normally focus on the world, on moral and social issues, and that's what we're going to be doing today, looking specifically at the question of the Bible and homosexual practice. There is a Bible, if you want to call it that, that has just been put out called the Queen James Study Bible. Or the Queen James Bible, excuse me. I kid you not, where they have rewritten any of the passages having to do with homosexuality. Oh, yeah, this is actually something serious that someone put out. And some other books written by sincere men identifying as gay and Christian or gay and religiously Jewish or devoted to God. They're questioning the traditional interpretation of Scripture. We need to look at these things. Some are more serious than others, but we're going to look at them today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Here's the number to call to get involved in the conversation, 866-348-7884. Now, I would love to hear from you if you differ with me. I'm not going to tell you you can't call. We've had the phone lines flooded the last couple of days debating issues about should Christians celebrate Christmas and should gun control laws be changed. We've had a lot of conversation about important issues. Today, I'm asking you not to call to just say, man, you're right, or what is with these people? How could they be so messed up or wrong? Not asking for those calls. If you differ with me, if you think that you can be a faithful follower of Jesus and at the same time practicing homosexual. If you believe the church has been wrong in its interpretation of Scripture or that things are ambiguous, or if you claim to love Jesus and be involved actively in a homosexual relationship, I promise I won't be hostile to you, but I'd love to hear from you if you differ with me. I'd also love to hear from you if you've come out of homosexuality, because according to gay activists, and virtually every gay person I've ever talked to, you don't exist. No one, according to gays and lesbians I've talked to for years now, no one ever really changes their sexual orientation. God can't even change your sexual orientation. So the idea of being an ex-gay, the idea of coming out of homosexuality, not just modifying your behavior so that you are not active and practicing the acts anymore, but changing your actual desires so that you're in a happy and healthy heterosexual relationship, according to virtually every gay and lesbian I've talked to over the years, with rare exception, they would say someone like you does not exist. So if you have a testimony of coming out of homosexuality and it's been proven in your life over a number of years by the power of God or through wisdom that came through counseling, I'd love to hear from you. And I'd also love to hear from you again if you differ with what I'm going to be sharing today on the broadcast. This first hour, I'm going to focus in on the key verses that are now rewritten in this Queen James Bible. I wish I was just making this up, but it's real. It's come out. It's gotten way, way more attention than it deserves. But that's the case. Second hour, I'm going to talk about a more serious work by Justin Lee, who heads up the Gay Christian Network, his book called Torn, where he wants to deliver the gospel from the gay Christian debate. And for all of his noble efforts, I feel he's fallen far short in his endeavors. So we got a lot to talk about these next 2 hours. If you're with me the next 10 minutes or the next 2 hours, I think you'll be enriched for every minute. Back momentarily, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Did I say my name twice? Well, either way, it's me. We're talking about the Bible and homosexual practice. Some recent publications have come out, and we need to focus on them. I've gotten a lot of questions about these. I want to address them. Again, if you have come out of homosexuality yourself, I'd love to hear from you today. Or if you differ with my position is you cannot be a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time. Feel free to call and differ with me. If you're calling just to agree with me, I won't be taking those calls today, just to give you a heads up, all right? If you're calling to say, hey, the Bible says you can't be a follower of Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time, I don't need you to call to reinforce what I'm saying, okay? I appreciate that. You can weigh in with your comments on my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, let me say something positive about the Queen James Bible. Is it positive? Positive? Yeah, what's positive is that there are men who identify as gay, women who identify as lesbian, others bisexual, transgender would find an interest in this as well, but especially those identifying as gay, lesbian, bisexual, that it's good that they want to read the Bible. There are many spiritually oriented gays and lesbians. Many of them have been raised in the church. Many of them have come to appreciate Jesus later in life and want to follow him and find a deep conflict between the idea that their sexuality is sinful. They would say, hey, this is who I am. It's like for me, I'm heterosexual. I've been heterosexual every day of my life, all my life. The idea that I can't follow Jesus as a heterosexual doesn't so much impinge on sexual activity, it impinges on who I am as a human being. So I understand that conflict, that challenge, not because I can relate to it personally, but because I've prayed much over it and listened to what those have to say who identify as gay and Christian at the same time, listen to their struggles, their stories, the agony that some have gone through trying to change and successfully crying themselves to sleep. I don't take this lightly. I've gotten on my knees and wept over these things and said, God, how can I help? I don't want to hurt. I want to help. And I know ultimately the best way I can help is by loving God, loving people, and telling the truth. So I'm glad that this is a Bible that says this beautifully printed, bound, high-quality paper, perfect Bible for ceremony, study, sermon, gift-giving, or simply to put on display in the home or church. Yeah, this is actually meant seriously. The person or people behind that meant it seriously. I think that's positive. I think it's absolutely abominable that they have rewritten passages gratuitously. Here's what they say. The Queen James Bible is based on the King James Bible, edited to prevent homophobic misinterpretations. In other words, they're going to add words, they're going to expand on certain things, put things in the text that are not there to make sure that they are not read incorrectly. It would almost be like when God was legislating laws about slavery in ancient Israel, that someone added in extra things saying, now we're not talking about going to Africa and kidnapping people and making them slaves. We're talking about voluntary servitude, you know, adding in extra lines like that. It's absolutely horrific that these things are added in to take away what is plainly taught in Scripture. The other thing is, from beginning to end of Scripture, the Bible is a heterosexual book. What I mean is God created us male and female, and it's the union of the male and female that God established as the norm. It is the union of the male and female that God establishes as sacred, as the two become one. Only a man and woman can become one and unite together as one, not just emotionally, but sexually, and with the possibility, with a normal functioning couple, of procreation. There is a possibility of oneness and completeness and wholeness that only a man and woman have. And throughout Scripture, heterosexuality is presumed. Honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. These things, these teachings presume heterosexuality is what God has established. The image of the man and the woman, or the man, the bride and the groom, being an image of Jesus and the church, and the male and the female. These are presupposed as foundational. So you'd have to rewrite all of those verses. You'd have to rewrite almost everything to get away from, quote, homophobic misinterpretation. And unfortunately, what they're calling homophobic misinterpretation is simply God's holy truth, because God does have something better for human beings than homosexuality. According to the editors of the Queen James Bible, they emphasize that King James himself was known to be bisexual. Some have accused him of being homosexual. Others have dismissed that. That's of no concern either, because it's not his Bible. In other words, even though he authorized the translation, regardless of his sexuality or his spirituality, that's a non-issue. So we leave that out. The editors say homosexuality was first mentioned in the Bible in 1946 in the Revised Standard Version. There's no mention or reference to homosexuality in any Bible prior to this. Only interpretations have been made. Well, of course, it's a completely misleading statement, because the term homosexuality was not current in the 17th century when the King James Bible came out, or in the previous decades with the Geneva Bible or the Tyndale Bible, or any revisions of the King James that took place over the years after that. The term homosexuality was not even coined as a term. Of course, it's not going to occur in those earlier Bibles. It's not even coined as a term until, what, late 1800s or so? Anti-LGBT Bible interpretations commonly cite only 8 verses in the Bible that they interpret to mean homosexuality is a sin. 8 verses in a book of thousands. Once again, there's the big, big, big misconception. As my friend Larry Tomczak pointed out in something he had written, let's say you have a cookbook, and at the beginning of the cookbook says, this is a cookbook that does not use sugar. We have it as a high value not to use sugar in any of our recipes, so we have sugar substitutes that are organic and healthy, and you will not find any recipes with sugar in this entire cookbook. And then you read the rest of the cookbook and sugar doesn't appear once. You say, it's not important. No, it's so important. It's so important that they explain at the beginning why it's not there throughout the rest. So the Bible from the beginning makes it plain. Male and female God created. The two become one. Adam and Eve is the perfect complement one for another. Only heterosexual relationships sanctioned in Scripture. Not a positive word spoken anywhere about homosexual relations in Scripture. The only explicit references to homosexual practice being very severe and very negative, and then reinforced by Jesus, who didn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill, reinforced by Paul, who lays out in great detail why these things are wrong in God's sight, and therefore certainly reinforced in Scripture as important and major. And all of the verses to do with moms and dads and husbands and wives reinforce these truths throughout. The Queen James Bible seeks to resolve interpretive ambiguity in the Bible as it pertains to homosexuality. We edited those 8 verses in a way that makes homophobic interpretations impossible. Well, aside from calling God's truth homophobic, and a rightful interpretation of God's truth, a homophobic interpretation. And again, I hurt for people that read the Scriptures and feel that now God's word is assaulting them. I hurt for people who have come to church with their struggles and pains and said, God, how do I reconcile this? I love you with all my heart. I want to please you, but I'm attracted to the same sex. What do I do? And then they feel attacked from the pulpit as if they're the worst of sinners and the worst of perverts. And they're thinking, well, I'm not a pervert. I'm celibate. I'm not even acting on these desires. I'm trying to honor God. What's going on? My heart goes out to those struggling like that. And I've often said at Fire Church to our congregants that we need to be ready for people coming in struggling. And in every different walk of life, a man coming in wearing a dress, holding his hands up, praising God, saying he loves Jesus. We're going to have to be able to sit down with that person in love and spend time with them and get into relationship with that person and help them out of their confusion into wholeness in the Lord. And if you're offended by the fact I call it confusion, I'm sorry, but it is. And it is not what God intended, and it's not God's best. That being said, this radical rewriting of Scripture is destructive, harmful, and for some, yes, it could be damnable if they believe the lie. So we're going to look at these specific verses, see how they have been reinterpreted, wrongly translated. We'll take your calls as well, 866-348-7884. Make sure I remember, Andrew, to mention this special resource right at the outset when we come back after the break. I think it's real important to get this into your hands. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
With your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. Michael Brown, so pleased to have this opportunity to be with you. 866-348-7884 as we talk about the Bible and homosexual practice. I'm welcoming calls today if you differ with my position or if you yourself have come out of homosexuality. So I don't forget the special resource today, my 5-DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? It includes the question, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Was Jesus tolerant? How to minister to the gay and lesbian community? And my debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian, and practicing homosexual at the same time. It's normally $60 plus postage for the series, beautifully packaged, of course. Today, you can get it for $30 postage paid. Really, every church listening, you need these for your church library, for your congregants, every believer, for your family. So take advantage of this $30 postage paid. So that's a savings of more than 50%. For this 5-DVD series. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. So before I go to the phones, Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, what do they do with this passage where the men of Sodom say about the angels, whom they just think are two visiting men, bring them out to us that we may know them? That's what King James says, that we may know them, with the word know sometimes in Hebrew used in a sexual connotation. Adam knew his wife Eve. So used like that in Hebrew to today, there's a word know that you don't want to use. Do you know this person? That would mean sexually. So there's another word you use for know. So in Scripture, sometimes the word yada can be used for know in terms of sexual. And you either want to translate it as that we may know them, and let the English reader glean the nuance, or that we can have sex with them. That would be fine. The Queen James Bible says, bring them out unto us that we may rape and humiliate them. That we may rape and humiliate them. The argument being that this was a known way in the ancient world, and even parts of the world today, to humiliate a male, that person would be raped by other men. Now, is that possibly what the context is speaking of? Sure, it's a manifestation of the wickedness of the city that all the men wanted to gang rape those two men. It is not saying that all homosexual men want to gang rape people. It is a manifestation of the wickedness of the city. And when you see, I would say, massive homosexual promiscuity in a society, it is a manifestation of the wickedness of that society. And based on Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, which speaks of the sins of Sodom being complacent, overfed, not caring about the poor, and committing toevah, abomination, it seems that committing abomination was the final manifestation of the wickedness of selfishness, complacency, and not caring for the poor. Fine. All clear. Do you therefore then change the Hebrew to say rape and humiliate when that is not what yada means? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. That is not what the word means. Never, ever, ever. The most you can translate, and it's perfectly fine to do it, that we may have sex with him. To say rape and humiliate is not what the Hebrew means, nor is it an expansion of what the Hebrew is saying. It's not. If you want to try to interpret the larger narrative to be talking about that, that's a separate question. And I have no problem with saying that this was part of a larger issue where the gang rape had other connotations with it. But it is a clear manifestation of out-of-control sexuality. It is a clear manifestation when they say we want to have sex with them. It is, there are lots of things involved with that, including sexual license, including sex, sexuality out of control. And perhaps the rape and humiliate could be, but that's not what the Hebrew says. And to translate it like that is a complete mistranslation, period. That's why you'll not find any Hebrew dictionary anywhere that's ever been made that's reliable in any way that would say that one meaning of yada can mean to rape and humiliate. No. No, no. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Let me go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Anthony, in, we lost Anthony. Let's go to Lynn in Miller Place in New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
I was a babe in Christ and someone who's new to the Christian religion. When I first started going to church, I had a conflict with the fact that I had friends that were homosexual who I spoke to that said that they believed in the Lord and then Jesus as their Savior. And I felt like they were condemned by the church. And I felt like it was kind of a contradiction because I thought that we were taught to love. And, you know, Jesus wants us to love and have hope and
mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was conflicting. I understand that, you know, my pastor went over certain scriptures in the Bible that explain to you why homosexuality is not God's way, and I understand that. However, I just don't want to feel like when I'm going to church or I don't want to feel like we're shutting people out because mm-hmm. if someone comes to me, whether they're homosexual or not, and they say that they love Jesus and they want to learn more about him, I don't feel like they should be put down because of their sexuality. I'm not a homosexual.
Yes.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're born with it or what have you. I'm not sure about it. But that was always a conflicting thing with me.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, yeah, just to jump in, because I mm-hmm. want to make sure I have time to answer you before the break. Your question is so important, and there are two sides to it, Lynn. The one side is that the church has often failed here miserably. And they have made people who identify as gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender or who are struggling with these issues, they have made them feel completely unwelcomed, completely unat home. You could go into the church and say, hey, we're struggling in our marriage. We're on the verge of divorce. Can we get help? Yes. You know, I've got an addiction to pornography. Can I get help? Yes. Well, you know, I'm attracted to the same sex. Can I get help? Oh, no. Something the matter with you. The church has often failed miserably there. And then we've often failed in our own marriages, in our own purity, and then we turn around and point a finger at someone else, and we've mm-hmm. been hypocritical. So I've publicly apologized for that, Lynn, many times from my heart. And where we failed, we have to do better. So the conflict you've experienced is real, and it makes sense. And the other thing is the issue is not someone's attraction. It's what they do with those. In other words, most married men that I know are attracted to other women also, or can be, or have to control lustful thoughts. In other words, they tend to have adulterous thoughts, which they recognize are wrong, and they don't act on them, and they don't go there in their hearts and minds. Same way, if mm-hmm. someone says, I love Jesus, I'm attracted to the same sex, and I know it's wrong, am I welcome? You bet you're welcome in every way, shape, size, or form. If the person says, I'm a practicing homosexual, I plan to continue practicing homosexuality, and I want to be welcome in your church. That's where we have to say we'll treat you like anyone else walking in sin. Hey, Lynn, stay on the line. I want to send you this DVD series as a gift.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this entire music clip from Aaron Kreider, Shake the Nations, Send a Revolution. I'm going to play that a little bit later in this next half hour. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire as we talk about the Bible and homosexual practice. Talking in this first hour about the new Queen James Study Bible. Yes, excuse me, it's not Study Bible, Queen James Bible. It's unfortunate that I'm not making this up, but to tell you the truth, I wouldn't make something like this up. It's too ugly. My heart goes out to people who are serious about this and who will say, at last, I can read the Bible without feeling condemned. I love Jesus, but I'm same-sex attracted, and this is how he made me, and this is God's gift to me, and he's going to bless me with a same-sex partner. We're going to love Jesus together. I know there are many sincere people by the thousands that feel like this, and some of you are listening to me now. I'm not sitting here throwing stones at you as a heterosexual who's never had to struggle with these issues. I'm not sitting here throwing stones at you and saying what a wicked, wicked person you are. I'm sitting here saying my heart goes out to you because honestly, I can't imagine the conflict you've lived with. However, I must tell you that if you somehow deceive yourself into believing that you can follow Jesus and be a practicing gay or lesbian at the same time, in other words, in an active relationship with someone of the same sex, and you might say, hey, I'm Pentecostal, the gifts of the Spirit operate in my life, or hey, I have the witness of the Spirit, I know that I know I'm born again, I'm a good Baptist, I'm sorry. That's a self-deceived position. And my heart goes out to you. I don't just throw stones because you say, well, does that mean I have to be celibate? Well, until God changes you, yes, yes. But there are plenty of celibate Christians. You say, well, you didn't have to be. I understand that. I wasn't dealt the hand that you were dealt. But perhaps there's something in your own heart and relationship with God that can be so wonderful, so overflowing, so glorious, so exceptional, so incredible that you'll join other heterosexual celibate Christians in enjoying Jesus and enjoying healthy, non-sexual friendships. And yes, I believe the church needs to do a better job of supporting people in that context. Can you be same-sex attracted and follow Jesus, recognizing that those same-sex attractions are wrong, just like attractions I would have to women I'm not married to or adulterous thoughts I'd be tempted to think are wrong, and therefore I don't give place to them in Jesus' name and don't open the door to those things? Well, you can be same-sex attracted, recognize it's wrong, not give place to that, and then follow Jesus and be used by the Lord and minister in all different capacities? Absolutely. And the church needs to recognize that and stand with you in support. But to say that based on Scripture, you can be a follower of Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time, the Word of God is plainly against you. And as we'll see in the next hour, as I talk about Justin Lee's book, Torn, we must look at the effects of gay activism in society. We must. Because gay activism in society effectively undercuts and undermines the very concept of male-female distinctions, the very idea that God distinctly makes people male and female, the uniqueness of marriage as God intended it, as the union of a man and woman, all of that gets undermined. It's more than just an interpretation of Scripture. And this is not my axe to grind. This is not my hobby horse. And the last thing you do is do this for money because you get vilified for this. And many churches that would have had you speak before won't because this is too controversial and they're afraid you might speak on this or go near this subject. That's the reality. I do what I do out of love for God and love for people because the Lord burdened me some years back, reach out, resist. Reach out to the gay and lesbian community with compassion. Resist the gay activist agenda with courage. Back with your calls and more treatment of the Scriptures. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown tackling the subject of the Bible and homosexual practice in light of some recent publications, the one we're focusing on this hour, the Queen James Bible. Yeah, I'm serious. If you want to read a good scathing review of this, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and just click on first comment of mine, and I link you to a Bill Muhlenberg review. 866-348-7884. I'm only asking you to call if you differ with me or if you have a testimony of coming out of homosexuality. We had a caller earlier I wasn't able to get to that wanted to share his testimony. Other calls were just not taking. However, I'm going to do a giveaway. So get ready, Dwight. We'll make this easy. Caller number 8. I want to send you a free copy of my 5 DVD set series, Can You Be Gay and Christian, which includes my 2-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian and an active homosexual at the same time. 866-34-TRUTH. It's normally a $60 value resource offer, $30 this week. Caller number 8, you get this absolutely free as my holiday gift to you. Can You Be Gay and Christian? 866-348-7884. Let's look at another verse, and then I will go to the phones. Leviticus 18:22, of course, one of the most important verses that's raised about homosexual practice, which says that if, in the King James, if a man lies with a man, it is an abomination. I left out some of the King James English there. So the Queen James Bible editor notes say, first, the word toeva, abomination, simply means something that is ritually clean or taboo. Well, sometimes it does, but often it does not. It's often used for moral issues. For example, in Proverbs, it's the word used for things that the Lord hates, things that are abominable in his sight. And those are all moral in the list there. But notice that this term occurs in the singular with reference to homosexual practice in the book of Leviticus, the term toeva. And then when it is in a general list, toevot, abominable practices, it speaks of the things that the pagan nations did, that the Egyptians where the Israelites lived, or the Canaanites where they were going to live, the land of Canaan. And it's a long list there, including incest. So incest is just ritually taboo. Something taboo, ritually unclean, it is not morally wrong. Bestiality, that's in the list of toevot in Leviticus 18. Bestiality is just taboo or ritually unclean. Adultery is just taboo, ritually unclean. This is the list of toevot in Leviticus 18. And how about sacrificing your child to Molech, to the god Molech? That's just taboo or ritually unclean. That's the list of toevot in the midst of which is the prohibition about a man lying with a man. Man having sex with a man the way he would have sex with a woman, penetration. That's what the text is speaking of. It's an abomination. It's a toeva. So out of the list of toevot, abominations, it's the one singled out as an abomination. And it's the only one that singled out as an abomination in Leviticus 20 has the death penalty. No, I'm not advocating the death penalty today. No. I am saying it's singled out as severe in Leviticus. You say, but we don't follow all the laws of Leviticus today, especially Gentile believers don't even think about it. Most Jewish believers don't follow all the laws of Leviticus today. Right. But Leviticus 18 is one of those universal moral prohibitions. Within the Torah, there are laws for Israel, setting them aside from the nation. So Deuteronomy 14, the food laws, God says, this is unclean for you or detestable for you. Not for everybody, but for you. There are laws, you know, don't sow your field with two different types of seeds or wear two different types of garments. Those were laws given just to Israel to keep them separate from the nations. There is nothing universal about those laws, okay? Nothing. Oh, sorry, we've had a winner. Sorry. We've had a winner for a while. My apologies for not announcing that. So there are laws that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations. And there are laws that are universal. This is one of them. This is one of these universal laws. How do we know? Because God says he judged the pagans for them. Anything God judges pagan nations for, those are out of keeping for his own people all the more. And God said, because the pagan nations committed these things, the land vomited out its inhabitants. So what do the Queen James Bible people do? Well, they change this because Leviticus 18:20 happens to mention sacrificing children to Molech, to say the whole context is in Molech worship, which of course is completely unsupported. And they change it to say, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the temple of Molech. It's an abomination. Oh, so if you do it outside of the temple of Molech, it's fine. What about all the laws that come before that? What about all those laws? What about all the laws about incest and adultery? What about those laws? Do those laws only apply if it's in the temple of Molech? Or how about this? Bestiality mentioned in verse 23. Bestiality, is that only in the temple of Molech that's wrong? Because that's immediately after verse 22 about homosexual practice. Of course, it's not speaking only of doing it in the temple of Molech. That one instance shows how impossible it is to get out of the plain sense of Leviticus 18 and its universal nature. Again, I don't say this to condemn those who are struggling. I say this to say plainly and simply, do not think that you can follow Jesus and obey the scriptures and at the same time be in an active homosexual relationship. God has a better way. And if you take refuge in him, he will help you. And his calling is not to be heterosexual. His calling is to be holy. There are married heterosexuals who believe that you cannot remarry if your spouse is alive. Your spouse divorced you, you cannot remarry. I know folks that have lived for many, 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 many years single because their spouse divorced them and they believe they can't remarry and they've honored the Lord and been blessed by God. There are others who have a spouse with a handicap because of which they can have no sexual relations, or some, the spouse is sick and they can't even emotionally relate and they have to say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Some have gone on like this for decades. No one is saying following Jesus is easy. I am saying that justifying sin is always destructive, and in Jesus, you will find everything you need. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. David in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello, before, David.
Before I give you my answer, I'd just like to say two quick things. When you were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, I thought you were going to say something I never heard anybody say. I'm an accountant and a consultant, so I'm very detailed and I think quick on things. And I think I know my Bible pretty well. I believe that God destroyed Sodom because of sin, homosexuality. And I say to people, if God thought it was okay, why did he destroy a whole city and name the sin homosexuality? I came up with an idea last week. I saw that clip on the internet that they wanted Ellen, what's her name, DeGeneres. Yeah, so I thought, wow, you know, I watched the ad, and then I read the article, and I said, this is a little too much even for me as a Southern Baptist. I think they're a little crazy, these Christians.
All right, David, just quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt. So do you agree with what I'm saying?
If you say, I just heard what you said right before I came on, that you think you cannot be a practicing homosexual
and follow Jesus at the same time, right?
How can you be? How can you be a practicing liar, cheater, fornicator, adulterer, and anything else? I mean, there's 100 sins we can name, and God.
Right. You cannot be a practicing fornicator, or a practicing liar, or a practicing adulterer, and be a follower of Jesus at the same time. Correct. I mean, Scripture is quite plain on that. You can say I'm struggling.
Don't we have to define what we call practicing? Because
sure.
I said that last week to a guy at one of these organizations in New York. I called him up and said, look, I think I have an idea how to satisfy both sides to take to the Supreme Court and their decision. And I said, practicing homosexual several times. And about the third time he stopped me, And he said, you know, you really shouldn't say that. And I said, say what? Practicing. And I said, why not? And I don't remember his exact answer. It was something along the lines of, well, that's like saying you're practicing, you're drumming every day or something like that.
And, all right. So the word practicing, it's just like saying someone practicing medicine. We don't mean they're working at it and trying. We mean, when I talk about being a practicing liar or being a practicing sinner or being a practicing fornicator or being a practicing homosexual, what I mean is I'm willfully acting on these things. I am not repenting of them, turning to God, recognizing they're wrong, looking for help. I am willfully acting on these things and perhaps even affirming they're right. Can I do that and follow Jesus? Certainly not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, talking this hour about the Queen James Bible that completely rewrites clear passages in Scripture that prohibit homosexual practice. And again, the very attempts that they go through, the words they add in, the way they have to retranslate, mistranslate to get their point across, underscores how impossible it is to rewrite the Bible on these lines, not to mention the whole heterosexual foundation of Scripture that God creates us male and female and joins a man and woman together as the only ones that can be one, and then as a norm, reproduce. And then presupposes heterosexual families, moms and dads, kids honoring fathers and mothers, husbands loving wives, and Jesus and the church being a picture of marriage as well. The man and the woman, the bride and the bridegroom coming together. The other attempts in the New Testament to reinterpret are just as weak as the Old Testament ones. Romans 1 has to just become a matter of ritual lust, which of course is absolutely not what's taught in the context there at all. And rather, it's an explicit degeneration from what God laid out as the norm in Genesis 1, which is very clear in the Greek. When you compare the Greek of Romans 1 with the Greek translation of Genesis 1 that was current in the Greek world at that time, called the Septuagint, That is the natural order that has been violated and from whence degeneration has come to the human race as a whole. And then 1 Corinthians 6:9, to try to get away from the clear meaning of the Greek, which even many gay scholars admit refers to homosexual practice. What can I say? I don't say these things lightly. I say these things because I love God and I love people. And there's more on the Greek words involved in the New Testament as well. 1 Timothy 1:9-10 is the other place that my friend Bill Muhlenberg highlights in his review of the Queen James Bible. I link that to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. I think I just put it in the first comment to be sure you could find it easily. All right, I've asked folks to call in who differ with me, or others to call in with their testimonies of coming out of homosexuality, as many listeners have over the years on the radio. Let's talk to Francisco in Rochester, New Hampshire. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Now, to make it clear, well, I'm not a homosexual, and I don't believe that you're not supposed to be a homosexual. But my issue is this. I think you can be a follower of Jesus and a homosexual. The simple fact that you have to, how else are they going to believe in Jesus and come to Jesus? They're not going to do it on their own will. You have to get them in there, into the Word, and get the Holy Spirit in them, and then Jesus will change them. I mean, we can't do it on our own. I mean, I might be wrong because I'm a very young Christian. I was baptized last year. But I try to be in the Word, and I believe that if you're truly saved, if you believe in Jesus Christ, He will change you. And we all have these tendencies. I mean, shoot, I have a tendency to violence and sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And every day I have to fight that. I mean, I want to do that? Yeah, it's in me, you know?
Oh, yeah, Francisco, we're together on that. In other words, my issue is with someone trying to justify what they're doing. So that would be someone who says, I've been following Jesus for 20 years. I love the Word. I love Jesus with all my heart, and my gay partner and I, we go to church together. We're committed to each other. We're sexually active. We've been following Jesus for 20 years, and he loves us, and he blesses what we're doing. Now, I tell them they're wrong.
Well, they're
deceived.
Right.
So it's the practicing and the justifying of it, Francisco. If it's someone saying, look, when someone comes to faith, doesn't matter what's going on in their lives, I seek to lead them to Jesus and an encounter with the Lord. And then the Lord begins to work on them about baggage and junk and sin. And if things come up in a conversation and they say, well, can I follow Jesus and live like this? Then we have to say, no, you can't. But here's the thing. Get to know him and he will give you the grace to overcome these things.
Exactly.
So we're saying the same thing, Francisco. My point, again, is people who are, and there's plenty of literature on this, people who justify it, say, yes, I'm a practicing Christian. Look, there are gay churches, Francisco.
But then you're not really a Christian then. I mean, no offense.
Right. But they would claim to be, in all sincerity, they would say, I believe the same thing you do. I believe the Bible the same way. But ultimately, we would have to say, but you are denying it by your life. Hey, Francisco, you're on the right track here. John 8:31-32, Jesus says to the Jews believing his message, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thank you, sir, for the call, and keep growing in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, look at what Paul writes there. And just so you understand this, Paul is not saying you have to perform a certain way in order to get into heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you are a true believer, you will live differently, because it's not possible for you to truly be walking with the Lord and working in persistent, unrepentant sin. And therefore, he warns, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning verse 9, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. One translation, nor male prostitutes, nor practicing homosexuals. Some would just say men who have sex with men, combining both of those concepts. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what some of you were. Some of you were practicing homosexuals. Some of you were sexually immoral. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were greedy. Some of you were drunkards. But that's not who you are anymore. Why? Because you were washed, you were sanctified, so you were set apart to God as holy. Now we're called to live that holiness out. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And friends, that in short is the message of the gospel, that Jesus not only changes us, Jesus transforms us. He makes us into something new by his power. And either we're faithful to the scriptures or we're just going to cave in to the compromise message of the day. You know, I ran out of time. I wanted to play our theme song for you. What we'll get to do it, maybe, Andrew, tell you what, let's plan on playing our theme song, our first one, Shake the Nations, on Friday, all right? And take advantage of this resource offer. I lay out in detail, in in-depth, practical, clear lectures with PowerPoint on DVDs, the question of can you be gay and Christian? Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Was Jesus tolerant? How to minister to the gay and lesbian community? And then a two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. Normally $60 plus postage for this resource. Today, $30 postage paid, 5 DVDs. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, God reaches out with love to all humanity. Jesus sheds the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike, and he calls us all to holiness. You cannot be a practicing homosexual and a disciple of Jesus at the same time. The Bible and homosexual practice. Is it really that hard to sort the issues out?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When I was flying back from India, I downloaded an important new book by Justin Lee, who leads the Gay Christian Network, called Torn. I believe it's important for Christians to read this book if they care about the homosexual community. My heart went out to Justin as I read it, and yet my heart broke all the more at the error that is perpetuated in the book. We want to talk about this because the issues that he deals with are issues that we cannot avoid and we ought not to avoid. They're important. I want to talk about what's right in his book and what's wrong. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Last hour, I talked about a bizarre and unfortunate publication called the Queen James Bible that blatantly retranslates, mistranslates verses in Scripture that speak against homosexual practice. And the weakness of the retranslation, mistranslation is such that it underscores how impossible that position is to say, I can follow Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time. Justin Lee's book is on a different level, and the journey that he describes is an important journey and one that we need to be sympathetic to. Now, I've reached out to Justin every way that I know how. When his book came out and we received a press release or it was sent to me by others, we wanted to see if we could get him on the air then, unable to succeed in that. Didn't get a specific refusal, but unable to succeed in that. I have a couple of folks I know that have been critical of me that say, well, why don't you talk with Justin? I said, by all means, let's set it up. We probably live about 3 hours apart from each other in different parts of North Carolina. I've said, I'll meet him halfway and we'll try to spend as many hours together as we can. I want to hear what he has to say. I'll interact, but I want to hear his heart first. No success in that. Then I've written to this website, the Gay Christian website, directly, even with my personal cell phone number, and said, please forward this to Justin. I want to get together for the following reasons, always without response. So I've made the effort to reach out 4 or 5 different ways so that I could have this dialogue with Justin privately or invite him to be on the air. If you happen to be listening and you're part of Gay Christian Network or you know Justin, well, Justin, give me a call, 866-348-7884. Or if the last thing you want to do is get on the air with me and you feel it would be in a format of a debate, which you're not at home with, then please, I've emailed privately to your staff there, even with my personal cell phone number, which, trust me, I don't generally do. I don't imagine you do either, just writing to a website. But I am making an effort to reach out. And my goal is not to prove a position right. My goal is not to pick up the Bible and bash people over the head. My goal is to speak the truth in love. Whether you like me for it, whether you hate me for it, whether you commend me for it, whether you condemn me for it, whoever you are listening, that's not my issue. I'm not doing this for radio ratings. I'm not doing this for popularity. I'm not doing this to stir controversy. I'm doing this out of love and with a broken heart. I read every word of Justin's book. I annotated it on my e-reader as I did. So I want to talk to you about this journey. I want to talk to you about where clear error and deception is involved. And if you differ with me today, I want to hear from you. Or if you've come out of homosexuality yourself, I'd like to hear from you. If you agree, I'm not taking calls from folks who agree, okay? Just not fitting today for you to call and say, brother, I'm with you, man, you're right, and the Bible says thus and such, and you're right. I'll hear your amen as I'm speaking. But I want to hear from those who differ with me, or have a testimony they want to share. We'll be back. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Wednesday on The Line of Fire. Wednesday being a day where we focus on the world, and moral and social issues. And we're talking today about the Bible and homosexual practice. 866-348-7884. Again, I welcome your calls. If you differ with my position, if you differ with me, I welcome your calls. Or if you have a testimony yourself of transformation by the gospel in terms of coming out of homosexuality, love to hear from you as well to encourage others. We're talking about Justin Lee's book, Torn. Justin Lee leads the Gay Christian Network. You say, gay Christian? There's no such thing. Well, let me tell you where I agree and disagree. If by gay Christian someone meant I'm same-sex attracted, but I recognize this is not God's intent for my life, I recognize that same-sex attraction is wrong in his sight, that it is sinful to act on this or to give place to thoughts on this, so I'm seeking to please God with a holy life, that means celibacy right now, that's where I am before God, and I know I can't act on these desires, but to be honest, this is who I am. I am same-sex attracted, and I'm homosexual. If Mike Brown, you're heterosexual, this person will tell me, well, I'm homosexual, same-sex attracted, but I love Jesus. I love the Word. I want to follow the Lord. I want to be used by God. Well, amen. Amen. Absolutely. You're welcome fully to serve with us, to stand with us, to be used by God. Amen. No questions. And, you know, obviously, if you struggle in certain areas, we use wisdom to help you not be in difficult environments like that. At the same time, you're in that sense no different than a single heterosexual who has sexual thoughts and desires, but because they're single, they can't act on them. Even if those desires and thoughts are healthy, they can't act on them. So same-sex attraction, that's not healthy, but same thing, can't act on it, recognize it's wrong, say no to the flesh. Fine. If you say you can practice homosexuality, you can love Jesus and be in an active homosexual relationship with another person, no, contradiction, cannot be. Now, God will sort out every individual life. There may be someone so new in the Lord and so much baggage in their lives that they don't even know which way is up, and God's graciously working in that person's life. But to say this is right in God's sight and justify it and practice it and follow Jesus at the same time, you can't. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Now, reading Justin Lee's book, Torn, is very important for pastors and believers in general, because there's often a misconception that the church has about gay men and women. The misconception is that they are the worst of sexual sinners. They are so perverted that heterosexual sex wasn't enough for them. They went out and decided to commit perverted acts. Now, there are heterosexual perverts and homosexual perverts. There are plenty of perverts out there. And if I'm speaking to one and your secret life is so utterly shameful that you would dread it if anyone knew, well, Jesus died for you, friend. And Jesus can set you free, save you, forgive you, and set you free, and give you a brand new life where your life is characterized by holiness and purity and not by perversion. But there are plenty of homosexual men and women who grew up in the church and, like Justin, became devoted to the Lord as teenagers. He was known in high school as God Boy. And then discovered, I'm not attracted to girls the way my other guy friends are. I'm attracted to boys, and wrestled with it, struggled with it, even said, God, if I have to be celibate, I'll be celibate the rest of my life. Can you imagine a young man coming to that conclusion? Can you imagine how hard that is? Maybe I'm talking to a 15, 16-year-old heterosexual kid, a boy or a girl right now, and think of that, to say if I'm going to follow Jesus, I've got to be celibate the rest of my life. Hey, that's massive. And that's what Justin went through. So the idea that homosexual man or woman is just someone who got tired of heterosexual sex and decided they're going to do something more perverse, that is a misconception. You say, but isn't that what's written in Romans 1? Romans 1 is talking about the history of the human race and the wrath of God on the human race as a whole because of our sin and as a people, we rejected God, and then God gave us over to sexual immorality, and then rejecting God again, he gave us over to perversions within sexual immorality, and so on. And then every other kind of sin that comes into the human race, every other kind of vile thing. No, it's not saying only if you commit those sins in an idol temple or some kind of ritual acts God was against. No, it is the descent of the human race into sin and the giving over of the human race into sin. But it's not saying that every individual gay or lesbian person goes through this descent, that they become an idol worshiper and then they get engaged in heterosexual promiscuity. Then when that's not enough, the homosexual promiscuity, and that's not what Paul's teaching in Romans 1 either. Justin in his book says Jesus wasn't known for his disdain for people. He was known for his unconditional love for everyone, especially outcasts and sinners. And Justin says, surely the faith he founded should never be known for looking down on anyone. After all, isn't the whole message of the gospel that all of us are sinners and fall short of God's glory, and that's why Jesus had to die for us and why we so need grace? Amen. You said a homosexual wrote those words? Yeah, yeah. Justin is writing his book, making the claim that he loves Jesus, but that he believes God made him the way he is, and that it would be acceptable in God's sight for him to one day be married to another man. Now, I, of course, say he's deeply deceived about that and in error, and hope and pray that he will renounce that view and that God would touch his life in ways he can't even imagine. But let's understand this about Jesus. Let's understand this. Jesus did not practice affirmational inclusion. He practiced transformational inclusion. What do I mean? He didn't affirm prostitutes and corrupt tax collectors, did he? No, he transformed them. He hung out with those people. Well, a lot of Christians never do that. Oh, I can't be around sinners. Well, Jesus spent a lot of time around sinners. He got his hands dirty in that respect, without himself sinning. So if you struggle with alcohol and you've been delivered from alcohol, well, don't go back into the bar to witness. Let someone else do that, okay? Obviously, you got delivered from sexual immorality. Now you're going to go into the strip club to witness. No, no, no. You don't do that. You don't do that. And we don't go into any place where just going in there is going to defile us to start. And these people you want to reach, they live outside of the strip club. They live outside of the bar. There are plenty of other opportunities to reach them with the gospel, all right? That being said, Jesus hung out with people that the religious community despised, but he didn't hang out with them to affirm them in their sin. He hung out with them to transform them. So it's just important we make that distinction. Yes, we should be reaching out to down and outers. We should be reaching out to the marginalized. We should be reaching out to the ones that the society disdains and despises and the religious establishment disdains and despises. Absolutely. Absolutely. I fully affirm that. At the same time, we're not reaching out just to hang out with people in their sin or to sin with them. We're spending time with them to introduce them to the goodness of God and the love of God and to show them a better way in Jesus. So the Jesus that tells the woman who's caught in adultery, I don't condemn you, I forgive you, there's no one here to condemn you, I don't condemn you, is the same Jesus who said to her, now go and sin no more. Justin writes in his book, throughout American society, and especially among young people, there is growing discomfort with what is widely perceived as a nasty culture war between gays and Christians, with Christians having fired the first shot. Justin, I agree that the church has often fallen short here and has demonized the gay and lesbian community to a person, in many cases, and it has often been insensitive to the struggles that you and others have gone through. At the same time, Justin, I would say you're missing the point that the first shot was not fired by Christians. Oh, maybe historically you could find gay bashing. But the first shot was fired in the sexual revolution leading to the gay activist movement. And suddenly, everywhere we turn, politically and in the media, everywhere we turn, we're being confronted with gay activism. In fact, that's the elephant in the room that many professing, quote, gay Christians miss. The great majority of the gay and lesbian community does not identify as biblical or born-again Christian. There's a small minority that do. However, gay activism is rampant in our society and is the principal threat to religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. And, so, and that's one of the reasons I got drawn into this by the Lord, was for those very reasons, the pervasive nature of gay activism in society. The church needs to act on those things because ultimately, if gay activism has its way, it will undermine the very meaning of male-female distinctives, the very meaning and foundation of marriage, and fundamentally will brand people as racist bigots in a new form, now sexual bigots, if they affirm what Scripture teaches. All right, back with more. Stay with us.
With your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
First hour today, friends, we talked about a very unfortunate project called the Queen James Bible that rewrites the passages in Scripture dealing with homosexual practice. I'm glad that there are gays and lesbians eager to read the Scripture. I'm saddened that some will actually read this thinking it is God's Word, where these verses have been butchered, changed, rewritten in a way that is impossible and incorrect. This hour, talking about a much more important publication, one that has a lot of good to say in the midst of what I believe is some deception as well, Justin Lee's book, Torn. And it is written by the gentleman who leads the, quote, Gay Christian Network. I say, quote, because I do not believe you can be a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time, according to Scripture. It's quite clear. Those that say it's unclear, I say they're wrong. Well, you're wrong. I'm a lifelong student of the Word. I've been following Jesus now 41 years. I devoted decades to learning the languages, to learning the culture, to learning the background, and more importantly, agonized over the Word on my face, on my knees, reading passages, listening, looking, reading opposing views in so many subjects. The Bible clearly condemns homosexual practices. It condemns many other sinful practices. And Jesus died for those sins. He shed the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike. And he offers us a better way, the way of holiness in him. If you differ with my position, you can call. The number is 866-348-7884, but only if you differ with me. You know, Justin mentions, and I've quoted this, throughout American society, and especially among young people, there's growing discomfort with what is widely perceived as a nasty culture war between gays and Christians, with Christians having fired the first shot. Now, here's what's important. And Justin really does a good job through much of the book of trying to honestly present both sides. And he presents his own journey and struggle. He learned the best way to get the message across is to tell personal stories. At the same time, he terribly fails when it comes down to honestly looking at Scripture. I'm not accusing him of being dishonest, simply saying he's terribly failed to evaluate what Scripture really says. And we'll look at that more in the second half hour. But the issue with young people, yeah, on the one hand, kids have gay and lesbian friends at school who are nice kids and a lot of fun. And then they may hear a sermon about gay activism in their church, or hey, gay activists are trying to destroy society, and they think, what's with my church? Well, I've never been my friend here, and the church is wrong. I understand that. We need to do a better job with our communication and our outreach and have our hearts sufficiently broken with God's love for the LGBT-identified community. At the same time, young people, by and large, have not been influenced by Scripture. They have been influenced more by the media, by the pop culture. That's why the George Barna survey of 18 to 23-year-olds, one half of 1% had what would be called the biblical worldview. That we must realize. Bottom line, we need awakening in the church among the young people and others. And it is only through awakening and the sending of God's fire that we will be able to minister in the life and power of the Spirit to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. On that note, before I get back to talking about his book, I want to play the clip you hear in our fade-out music or fading-in music from my friend Lendell Cooley, who was the worship leader in the Brownsville Revival. And Lendell is singing the song written by Salvation Army founder William Booth, Send the Fire, which has been updated for today. Let's just sit back and take this in, because that's what we need in the church, a fresh outpouring of the fire and power and reality of God. Sir, that's what we need. That's what we need. Fire of God burning in our hearts afresh. I fully believe if we were more like Jesus, if we were more full of God's love, if we were more full of God's fire, if we were more full of God's power, we would be doing a far better job of reaching out to a world that doesn't know Him. You say, well, that's self-evident. Yeah, it's self-evident, but friends, often we just go on with life as usual. We just go on with our normal business, pointing a finger at this one who's wrong, that one who's wrong, that one who's wrong. I've said to many Christian leaders, to churches, to our own congregation, Fire, here in Concord, North Carolina, that if we're going to say that certain things are wrong and people come in our midst struggling in those areas, what are we going to do? Are we going to help them? Are we going to provide them with a gospel solution? And a very important point I believe Justin Lee makes is that if someone says, I want to follow Jesus, I'm same-sex attracted, I know I have to be celibate, will you help me? You talk about someone the church needs to help and stand with 1,000 times over. It's that person. And yet often that person feels more outcast than anyone. We need the fire of God that will burn with a deep, passionate love in our hearts, that will hear stories and take those stories personally and take those people to God until they are living in beauty, in the beauty of holiness. Friends, take advantage of special resource offer, my 5 DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian, which you'll find super helpful and practical. They're only $60 plus postage today, $30 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. You'll find this practical and life-changing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this Wednesday on the Line of Fire, where our focus is on the world, on moral and cultural issues. Today on the Bible and homosexual practice. First hour, we talked about a horrific edition of the scripture called the Queen James Bible that takes the King James Bible and then rewrites the verses having to do with homosexual practice so that people will not read it with, quote, homophobic misinterpretations, what the editors of the Queen James Bible called homophobic misinterpretations are actually wonderfully true interpretations of Scripture out of God's loving heart. You say, well, where does that leave me? I want to follow Jesus and I'm same-sex attracted. Where does that leave me? Well, that leads us to an important book by Justin Lee called Torn, Rescuing the Gospel from the Gays versus Christians Debate. I encourage Christians to read it, especially those who are reaching out to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. At the same time, I want to give a warning that there's some real error in the book as well, along with an unfortunate attack on the idea that people can actually change. If you differ with my position, and only if you differ, or if you've come out of homosexuality yourself and have a testimony you want to share, give me a call at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you want to know more about the Queen James Bible, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see it as the opening comment where I added a good link to read. Justin Lee, as a teenager, was known as Gobbo. By the way, I've reached out to Justin everywhere I know how, through friends, directly through his website, to say, hey, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to interact with you face-to-face. We live about 3 hours apart. I'll drive halfway and meet you. We'll talk. I want to hear your heart. I'm not just there to preach to you. Thus far, without a single response ever. But I want you to know I've made those efforts. Justin says in his book, Torn, night after night, I cried myself to sleep, talking about as a teenager, begging and pleading with God to take away my sexual attractions to other guys. Please don't let me feel this anymore. I pray over and over, sure that God would take the feelings away eventually, but wanting it to be soon. I hated myself for what I felt. I was desperate to be rid of it. Yeah, I've heard that from others. Justin, I believe you. I believe you. I want you to know I also believe those who've just come up to me spontaneously after meeting, glowing, smiling. Men and women, those who've called the show to talk about how they were living just as you were, and through an encounter with Jesus, God changed them, and they're no longer same-sex attracted, and many of them now happily married heterosexuals. I believe their stories too, but Justin, I believe you, and I believe that your story is common, and that there are many who have left the church because they ultimately had to say, then the Bible either is not true or the God of the Bible is not loving because he made me like this and didn't change me. My heart breaks over those issues. I cannot deny God and his word because my heart breaks for you. And the ultimate expression of love is to hold to God and his truth. So Justin, as a teenager, struggles and finally wrestles to the point that he says, if I have to be celibate the rest of my life to please the Lord, I'll do that. That's deep devotion to me. That's a serious commitment to me to hear that. Now, Justin goes through his book, Why Are People Gay? And I don't believe he does a good job on fully analyzing the literature that's out there. However, he still ultimately concludes that we don't know why. As long as that's his conclusion, fine. The fact that he cannot relate to the environmental argument. In other words, that it's someone's upbringing, things they experienced as they were growing up, or parenting issues, family issues, or sexual abuse as children. The fact that he and many other gays say that's not my story does not mean it isn't the story for others, because I've heard from many on the other side. Many, many, many. So we come back, we're going to break this down and then look at some areas in the Word where Justin sadly misses it. But we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's do a giveaway. My 5-DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? My position is, if you recognize homosexual attractions are not what God has for you, you say no to those attractions, you follow Jesus, you're living in holiness, can you be gay and Christian? In that sense, sure, it's like anything else. You recognize a tendency, a desire in your heart, your mind that's wrong. You don't affirm it. You don't believe it has a place in your life. You honor the Lord. You say no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. Of course, you can have desire, a tendency that you recognize is wrong and don't act on and follow Jesus. At the same time, can you be a practicing homosexual, being a same-sex relationship, practicing, saying this is fine in God's sight, we love Jesus, we love each other, and we're following him together, and be following Jesus? No, of course not. Certainly not. The word is plainly against that. I don't say that in a dispassionate way. I say it so as to be clear. But this series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? 5 DVDs. It's only $60 plus postage. We have it available as a special resource today. I'll tell you about it later. I deal with the question, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? I ask the question, is there such a thing as ex-gays? I ask the question, was Jesus tolerant? Give practical, compassionate guidelines for ministering to the gay and lesbian community. Then have a 2-hour debate with Harry Knox, who claims to be born-again Christian and is a practicing homosexual at the same time. 5 DVDs, yours free if you are caller number 7. So I'll make this one real quick. 866-348-7884. Caller number 7. 866-34-TRUTH. I will send this out to you as my gift. Justin Lee, in his book Torn, the section on or people born gay, what he says here is very important. As I said, I believe the literature could be looked at somewhat differently than he looks at it. But his overall conclusion, just because an attraction or drive is biological doesn't mean it's okay to act on. So whether behavior is sinful or not doesn't tell us anything about whether the related attraction has biological roots. Absolutely. By the way, we do have a winner. Thank you. Thank you. He says, we all have inborn tendencies to sin in any number of ways. If gay people's same-sex attractions were inborn, that wouldn't necessarily mean it's okay to act on them. And if we all agreed that gay sex is sinful, that wouldn't necessarily mean that same-sex attractions aren't inborn. Is it a sin, and does it have biological roots? Are two completely separate questions. Absolutely. And Justin, I commend you for putting that in there, even though I differ with some of your reading of the scientific literature. His conclusion, we don't know why some people are gay, but he says gay sex could still be sinful even if same-sex attractions are unborn. We humans are born with all kinds of sinful temptations. Likewise, civil rights shouldn't depend on whether something is biological. Fair is fair either way. Whether we should redefine marriage or not, I agree, is not based on whether someone is born gay or not born gay, or born bisexual or not born bisexual. There are many other reasons that we should not redefine marriage. Again, the elephant in the room that Justin misses is gay activism and its effect on society. Oh, he knows it's there, but its pervasive effect on society, its ultimate attack on gender itself, its ultimate attack on male-female distinctions itself, its ultimate attack on religious liberties and freedoms is something that he completely misses. In the book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense, by Sheriff Girgis, Ryan T. Anderson, and Robert P. George. Very, very important book. I highly recommend it to you. What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. He talks about, if you redefine marriage, what it actually means, that you make mother or father superfluous. He notes this. Girls, or the authors note this, girls, for example, are likelier to suffer sexual abuse and to have children as teenagers and out of wedlock if they do not grow up with their father. For their part, boys reared without their father tend to have much higher rates of aggression, delinquency, and incarceration. As Rutgers University sociologist David Papineau concludes, The burden of social science evidence supports the idea that gender-differentiated parenting is important for human development and that the contribution of fathers to childbearing is unique and irreplaceable. He continues, we should disavow the notion that mommies can make good daddies, just as we should disavow the popular notion that daddies can make good mommies. The two sexes are different to the core, and each is necessary culturally and biologically for the optimal development of a human being. And by the way, to claim, well, there's enough studies that say that gay parents do just as well. First, this is so much in its infancy that to pull out studies to argue the point, most of the studies have been flawed in one way or another. And many of them have left out essential ingredients like saying, oh yeah, kids raised in same-sex households themselves tend to have a higher percentage of same-sex attraction and themselves tend to have more gender confusion or be willing to experiment more outside of normal gender bounds. That's often not reported. Some gay studies said, well, why should we report it? That's not a defect. That's not a deficit. Another issue that comes up is in the redefining of marriage, that if it gets redefined, that society will then brand you the same way a racist was branded, that you will be branded by the society and even by the law if you simply say, well, you know, God's word is clear. He designed marriage for man and woman, and biologically it's clear that this is the way we were designed and we believe that's best, and we don't sanction or agree with or support redefining marriage. You will now be looked at like a member of the KKK. And even with the redefining of marriage, there are plenty of gay activists who say marriage needs to be more radically redefined and have much more openness and flexibility. For example, Andrew Sullivan, one of the best-known gay voices in the world today, he's extolled elsewhere the spirituality of anonymous sex and thinks that the openness of same-sex unions could enhance the bonds of husbands and wives. Quote, same-sex unions often incorporate the virtues of friendship more effectively than traditional marriages, and at times among gay male relationships, the openness of the contract makes it more likely to survive than many heterosexual bonds. In other words, sure, we have our flings, but it's accepted and it's understood, and that helps us stay committed in marriage. He says there's more likely to be greater understanding of the need for extramarital outlets between two men than between a man and a woman. That's because two men are going to relate differently than a man and a woman because we are different. Again, these are things that it seems, unfortunately, that Justin and his focus on the church and Christians and the homosexual community has these issues have been missed, overlooked by him. I'm not sure why, because he's well-read, intelligent, thinking, and sensitive. And yet these must be addressed, the undoing of gender, the undoing of male-female distinctions, the assault on the very meaning of marriage. Michelangelo Signorelli, prominent gay activist, and I'm quoting from the book What is Marriage by Gerges, Anderson, and George. He urges people in same-sex relationships to, quote, demand the right to marry not as a way of adhering to society's moral codes, but rather to debunk a myth and radically alter an archaic institution. They should, quote, fight for same-sex marriage and its benefits, and then, once granted, redefine the institution of marriage completely. Because the most subversive action lesbians and gay men can undertake is to transform the notion of family entirely. The book continues, the Western world's limited experience so far suggests that these ideas play out in policy. Since countries have begun recognizing same-sex unions, officials have proposed bills, made administrative decisions, or allowed lawsuits challenging nearly every other traditional norm. Mexico City has considered expressly temporary marriage licenses. A federal judge in Utah has allowed a legal challenge to anti-bigamy laws as violations of religious liberty and infringements of equality. A public notary in Brazil has recognized a triad, a threesome, as a civil union, saying in almost so many words that the redefinition of marriage required it. Quote, the move reflected the fact that the idea of a family had changed. For better or worse, it doesn't matter, but what we considered a family before isn't necessarily what we would consider a family today. New York Times more recently reported on a study finding that exclusivity was not the norm among gay partners. With straight people, it's called affairs or cheating, said Colleen Hoff, the study's principal investigator. But with gay people, it does not have such negative connotations, and on, especially with the men. And I document that as well in A Queer Thing Happened to America. The point is, God designed men to be with women for a reason and women to be with men. And when you say, but yeah, look, I love Jesus and I'm same-sex attracted, and then based on that, now want to redefine marriage and gender and how society operates as a whole, please, I appeal to my friends who identify as gay and Christian. You're making a terrible, terrible mistake and standing very much on the wrong side.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm not going to be able to even get to calls if some of you wanted to talk to me these last few minutes of the broadcast because of the material I want to cover. But many of you say, I'm not going to call your show, man. I'm not going to call you and differ with you. It's your mic, it's your show, and you're a debater, and I'm not going to call you. Well, I'm not trying to win a debate or intimidate someone. If I believe in something passionately, I'll hold to it passionately, do my best to present it passionately and defend it passionately. But I understand it can be intimidating. I understand that you might feel you're just going to be set up to be like a stooge for my position looking better, which, again, is not my intent. God forbid. But feel free to contact me off the air. No, I can't just take calls and say, hey, here's my personal number, call me. But we do have a website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on contact and you can write. And if you say this is personal for me, it will get to me, all right? Or if you write to our staff and say, pass this on to Dr. Brown, it will get to me. And I will read what you write. Okay, if you write like a 50-page bio, I probably won't read all of it. But if you want to voice an objection or say, well, you think I'm missing it, or just get off some steam, feel free to do it. I promise I will read it. And in some cases, we'll try to interact further off the air. Fair enough. Justin Lee's book, Torn, Rescuing the Gospel from the Gays versus Christian Debate. I've tried to reach out to Justin every way I've known how to connect unsuccessfully. I've never gotten a refusal, just never a response in the various attempts that I have made. So perhaps he doesn't even know I'm trying to reach out to him. Folks close to him have not notified him. But either way, there's much that's important in this book, and Christians need to read it to be sensitized to the struggle someone has who said, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm same-sex attracted. And in many ways, Justin tries to be balanced in presenting positions, but then he really minimizes the force of the scriptural statements against same-sex behavior, and he minimizes the power of God to change people. Now, I've never walked in his shoes. I don't know what it's like to cry myself to sleep asking God to take away same-sex attraction as he did, and then to go to therapy or to groups or whatever it was and not see change and say, hey, nobody else has changed here either. All I know is, number one, God calls us to holiness, not heterosexuality, and that's non-negotiable for all of us. Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's non-negotiable. That's number one. Number two, there are people who do change. I don't know what the percentage is, but I do know people who were genuinely homosexual who became genuinely heterosexual and were happily married. And I have no reason to doubt their story any more than I doubt Justin's story. And more importantly, 1 Corinthians 6:9, which in Greek explicitly talks about homosexual practice. It's not just talking about male prostitutes. It's not just talking about effeminate people. It's not just talking about pederasty. It's talking about men having sexual relations with other men. Such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6:11. You're not that anymore. Justin denies that, wants churches to get away from working with ex-gay ministries. That's a major difference I have with his book and a major fault I find with it. What about the scriptural witness, though? Justin says he went through the texts. He studied it back and forth. And he just couldn't come to a conclusion as to whether the Bible said you could be a follower of Jesus and in a homosexual relationship at the same time. He knew others who said that they were gay Christians and they were partnered with some other person. And I bet you could meet two men, two women that say we love Jesus and we're partnered together. And they could be very sweet, very kind and quoting scripture and active in ministering to hurting people, yet say they're deceived based on scripture. They're deceived. And they cannot be pleasing the Lord while in that relationship, even if there are many other qualities in their lives that are noble and notable. But unfortunately, all of the comprehensive evidence in Leviticus 18:22 and why that applies to us today that Robert Gagnon presents, Justin only quotes Robert Gagnon once in a way that almost supports his position and comes to a conclusion ultimately, as does Jay Michelson in his God versus Gay book and others, that the ultimate law is the law of love. And that's what's clear and comprehensive, that the summing up of all the commandments is to love one another. And ultimately, that's the real way we measure things. And when things are debatable, you know, when it's morally debatable, then we just go the way of love. Justin, homosexual practice in the New Testament is not morally debatable. It's absolutely not morally debatable. And there's not a stitch of evidence anywhere in the ancient church that it was ever morally debatable, or in the Jewish world of that day that it was morally debatable. To say this is just, you know, one of those debatable issues, like do we celebrate Christmas or not, I talked about yesterday. No, absolutely not. This is one of those sexual immorality issues that 1 Corinthians 5 plainly deals with and would have been fully understood by the churches and believers of the day. All evidence, the best lexical evidence, the best exegetical evidence points 100% in that direction. Also, the law of love, Justin, you can't hold to that either, because there are certain relationships, no matter how much the people love each other, that you would say are forbidden and wrong in God's sight. Why? Based on what? Based on what? The two brothers that want to marry, the two sisters that want to marry, the grown father and daughter that want to marry, the grandmother and the grandson in England having a kid together through a surrogate mother. Surely you would say those are wrong, but they would say, but we love each other. What about equality? What about tolerance? We love each other. You see, those are extreme examples. If the law of love principle is going to work, and if people love each other, then we have to accept that and bless it, and God would not stop people from loving each other if they're not hurting each other or abusing each other. It must be 100% consistent, and it can't even be your theology, Justin. The way the law of love works is that we speak the truth in love and stand with God even when we're misunderstood, because love tells the truth. And the fatal weakness of the book, with all the good in it, I read it with much interest. I read it flying back from India. I read every word of it carefully, didn't skip over any of it, annotate it throughout the book. And Justin, I'd be happy to sit down with you face to face and go through it. And you could, trust me, I'll do more listening than talking if we get together. All right? I give you my word. The fatal flaw is that the clear biblical evidence is denied. And once that's denied, you open the door for further deception, and that's what concerns me. And then the gay activist elephant in the room, deeply overlooked with all of its massive implications in society, and the undoing of gender distinction and even foundations of marriage. All right, friends, I encourage you to take advantage of this special resource offer. Normally $60 plus postage, today $30 postage paid, my 5-DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? We deal with the question, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Was Jesus tolerant? How do we minister to the gay and lesbian community? And a debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. $30 postage paid. Get multiple copies of this to distribute to your friends and churches. Essential teaching at a great discount. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800. 278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. 5-DVD set, Can You Be Gay and Christian? You'll be enriched and blessed by it deeply, and you'll be able to help many other people through it. My bottom line today, let us walk in true love, the love that doesn't compromise, the love that doesn't seek to be popular, the love that tells the truth, and then helps people walk out the truth regardless of cost or consequence.